Hey guys, today I want to talk about Christian hedonism. So it's a term that maybe some people might be turned off by, but essentially it was a term coined by John Piper. And so a lot of this information and just the things that I've learned from the topic of Christian hedonism, I give a lot of credit to John Piper, Jonathan Edwards, and Randy Alcorn, and C.S. Lewis. I mean, there's a lot of people, but the book that really changed my perspective of just my own walk with Jesus and like my own desires and my pursuit of like where does pleasure come into play with the Christian life. A lot of that came from John Piper's book, Desiring God. And I want to talk a little bit about it. Not specifically his book, but a lot of it has come from his book. And the reason I want to talk about it is because it so radically changed my life and what my aim is and what, you know, and everything that I do. So, Christian hedonism basically says that God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. That's a quote from John Piper. He would say that you make a God out of that which you find most satisfying. So, whatever you do in life, whatever, you know, where your affections are, like, where, you know, whatever you find most satisfying in life, like, that's your God. And so, for the Christian, well, we're not making, the Christian hedonism isn't saying we're making a God out of pleasure. It's saying that God is whatever you find most pleasure in. And so when I talk about, you know, my wife and I talk about fighting for joy, and that how it's, you know, a daily fight. It's not just, oh, I just want joy. It's I want joy in God. And so, because you can have joy apart from God and you can experience joy in God. Now, some people say, well, no, joy is different. You know, joy is something you experience that's, you know, deeper and longer lasting, and, you know, it's like a contentment. Whereas like happiness is kind of like, you know, temporary and not as good as joy, and, you know, but from my study of scripture, and Randy Alcorn was actually really helpful in this. He wrote a book called Happiness. It's a good, I can't remember, 300 some pages. I mean, looking at the word happiness that is found in scripture, and the gleanings that he found were that happiness and joy are synonymous all throughout scripture. So when I say happy, or when I say pleasure, or when I say joy, like, those are all used interchangeably. So when I say joy, I'm not talking about, you know, this is something that's longer lasting, or it's like something that's actually from God versus happiness. I'm like, no, these are the same thing. Like, we are to pursue our happiness in God. And when you look at scripture, it's pretty pretty crazy how much scripture talks about rejoicing, talks about joy, talks about happiness. One of the verses that blew me away when I read this, probably, man, I don't know, maybe 10, 12 years ago, was Psalm 16:11, and it says, "You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. And when I read that, I was like, what? Like, fullness of joy? Like, pleasures forever? Like, who doesn't want that? Like, who... isn't that what we all want? And there's a quote by, I think it was Blaise Pascal or someone who said that, like, all men desire happiness. Like, this isn't something that's bad. Like, this is something that God interweaved through our bodies, and like this, like our natural craving to be happy. But he says all men, you know, seek happiness, even those who hang themselves, because those who commit suicide think this is going to be far better than if I were to be here on this earth, you know, and be present and alive. And so they're saying, I'm going to pursue this thing that I think is going to be better off versus this thing over here. So that, I mean, that's it. Is, and the question comes down to is, well, what are we pursuing our pleasure in? And so the things that, the thing that's amazing is the more I learn, the more I read scripture, and the more I see like how this all connects together. You know, I talk about beauty. You know, now I want to talk about joy and Christian hedonism. Like, they're all related, I think, in some way, because we want that which is most beautiful. Like, we're drawn to beauty. And I'd say the same thing with happiness. Like, we want to do what makes us happy. And so if we look at a lot of other scriptures, you got Paul saying, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. You have in the Psalms over and over again about, you know, serve the Lord with gladness, you know, talking about praising the Lord and rejoicing the Lord and singing to the Lord. And then Paul also talks about, like, to live is Christ and to die is gain. Meaning, like, him living here on this earth, like, he's getting Jesus. And then if you were to die, like, he gets more of Christ. Like, he gets to be with him. And so there, thinking of some other verses, you know, Paul said, what's the verse? I count all things as loss compared to the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus. So Paul's looking at life and, or even possessions, and saying, okay, everything has a loss category over it. And I get Christ. Like, that's the goal. Like, that's what he wants. And so, those are, I guess, some of the few verses. And there's so many more. I mean, Jesus, when he's talking about, you know, in John, like, I'm writing these things that your joy may be complete. You know, and then he's praying to the Father, like, God, show them my glory. And so God's glory and our joy are not separate. And like Piper's quote, like, God is going to be most glorified in us when we're most satisfied in him. So the aim of the Christian life is that we might be satisfied in Jesus, that he would be our treasure, that he would be our aim, our goal, our very life. And when you see, you know, the other verse that talks about, like, all things were created, you know, through Christ, by Christ, and for Christ. Like, all things were created for Jesus. So this isn't about us. This is about Jesus. And so Jesus talks about, you know, how he is the river of life. Like, he's the bread of life. He is the door, the way, the truth, the life. He is, he's the great I am. He is, if you read Jeremiah, like, talks about, him being the fountain of living waters. And calls us to come and eat and drink deeply, to taste and see his goodness. So, like, God wants us to marvel and to be fascinated, to be enraptured with his glory, to be satisfied in him for all that he is in Jesus. And so, because the thing is there's no one greater, no one more beautiful, no one more glorious than Jesus himself. And so this changed everything for me in life, because I think sometimes within the Christian life, it's easy to just think, like, here's all the things I need to do, and here's all the, I don't know. It's very easy to get too analytical, or get too stodgy, get too, I don't know. We kind of separate emotions, but then we have to look at the scripture and see that actually God commands our emotions. Like, God commands us to rejoice. And when God says, you know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, like the first greatest commandment, like, that involves emotion. Like, love, like, at least, like, delights. Like, at least it, like, there's some kind of affection. And so, like, we're called to that, to love God with everything. And so this isn't just mind, this is heart. You know, Jesus said, to the Pharisees, like, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Like, God doesn't just want our lip service. He doesn't want just our head knowledge. He wants our heart. He wants our very affections, our emotions. He wants, like, everything. And you know, there's another verse that talks about how, it's coming to me, that, oh, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you find, you know, eternal life, but you refuse to come to me. Like, Jesus is eternal life. He is eternal life. Like, to know Jesus, that's eternal life. And so, it's not just about, oh, I'm going to find eternal life just by reading words on a page. Now, yes, faith does come by hearing the words of God. Yes, absolutely. But faith in who? It's in Jesus. So it's not just we're not just looking at the Bible. We're finding Jesus in the Word. Jesus is the Word. So, yeah, so this was it just changed everything. So when you think of the pursuit of pleasure, I mean, it covers, like, every area of life. It's like, what we're doing is, well, what am I pursuing my joy in God in this, or am I just pursuing my own pleasure apart from God? Like, do I see that these beautiful things that I can enjoy, do I see this as an avenue of worship? Do I see that the meal set before me is a way that I can delight in God, is a way that I can enjoy God because this is his gift, and that these beautiful gifts in front of me are just a reflection of his abundant grace and his richness, and like, so the things that we enjoy, we can now, like, the things that bring us happiness, things that bring us joy, like, we can actually see that as a way, we actually live in a way that brings glory to God, to see, God, like, you gave us this amazing meal, you gave us this lovely story in this film, or you gave us this this song that just moves me to tears, and we could say, God, like, this is from you, and this is for you, and we can worship God with gratitude, with thanksgiving, and we can find pleasure in that, and realize that this is a way that we can find pleasure in God. And so, and like I've maybe said this before, but, you know, God's given us, you know, two books. He's given us his word and he's given us creation, you know, and I think Piper says, like, you know, his word is like a bar of gold. It's weighty and heavy. And then the creation is like leaves of gold. You know, it's still gold, but it's not the word, but it's still spoken art from Jesus. Jesus created all things. And so we can still see God's glory and enjoy God's glory through creation and the things that he's given us. So these are just kind of the fundamental things that, I don't know, set up a really good foundation for my life. And I'm not going to say it's easy. I'm not going to say, man, I'm always pursuing my joy in Jesus, because I'm not. I'm sinful. And life is hard. And, you know, Piper wrote a book, another book's called When I Don't Desire God, How to Fight for Joy. So that was actually really helpful too, because you realize, like, well, why don't I desire God like I ought? And so that book was really helpful. And it's, I don't know, those two books are books I feel like I'm going to have to come back to again. And just because this is stuff that I feel like I need to be reminded of and realize, like, I was not made for myself. I was made to enjoy God. And as I think it was Terry Virgo, I think he has a blog post talking about how, like, we are to pursue, like, ecstasy in God. Like, if we're talking about fullness of joy, if we're talking about pleasures forevermore, like, this is, like, we're made to experience, to know Christ, and not just know about him, we're made to know him intimately. The way Hosea in chapter 2 talks about, and you shall know the Lord, like, know the Lord is like an intimate, it's like a husband knowing his wife. And so, like, that's what we're called to, you know. Just read the Song of Solomon, read the poetry in the Bible. It's just very, like, we're made to experience and to have intimacy with God, because Christ is everything. He is our treasure. He is our life. He is eternal life. And the amazing thing is that his Spirit is the one that opens our eyes, that gives us new life, that we can actually experience God as we're meant to. Because apart from the Spirit, like, we can't please God. Apart from God, we can't please God. And so, so anyway, so I guess I just want to encourage my listeners to, I don't know, check out some of those books, check out Jonathan Edwards. I think, Piper wrote a book with, a lot of Edwards in it called, I think it's God's Passion for His Glory. Man, fabulous book. And so there's a lot out there, and I'd be curious to hear your guys' thoughts or maybe questions on it. Definitely check out Desiring God, John Piper and his ministry, what he's got going on there. And I'll I don't know, maybe we'll have to have a part two of Christian humanism, but that's kind of what I'll leave you guys at, and encourage you to, man, like, pursue your joy in God. Like, you're happy, like, you're made to be happy in God. Like, and, like, that's amazing, and that we can actually experience joy forever in him. Now, yes, like, in this world, we're not going to experience the fullness of joy that we're in the eternal state. Like, we're not, it's sin mars things, but man, we can still taste and experience and enjoy God, like, more than we can imagine. I think the reason we don't have his beauty is because we don't ask. I think James talks about. And so we need to ask. We need to ask Holy Spirit, open our eyes that we might enjoy God. And and ask that, you know, the idols in our life, that they would be smashed, and that Jesus would be our true treasure. So I'll leave it at that. So I'll, like I said, maybe we'll have a part two, but thanks for listening. Appreciate you guys.